showers of mercy. Let's keep moving forward unless you've got something you need to share. Give your tithes and your offerings there in the center aisle. If you haven't done so already. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm glad you're all here today. We still have time to celebrate the 4th of July tomorrow. And this is a season where we're going to see the freedom restored in our nation that has been whittled away at for not months or weeks, but years. And the scripture comes to mind, he will restore the years that the locust has stolen. And that has a special meaning and relevance to Kathy and I as well. Well, let's go to the Word together. Amen. And we're going to Matthew chapter 14, if you have your Bibles. Of course, it'll be on the overhead for us as well. It's a very familiar passage. I may have preached once, to my knowledge, from here, but there's so much here in this 12 verses of Jesus walking on the water and Peter launching out as well, getting out of the boat. And kind of, I don't know how to say it, he was getting wet in the sense of experiencing new revelation about who Jesus was, and also God was breathing upon his faith. Yes, he got distracted. Yes, you know, the wind, the waves, all this. But got to give him credit. He's the only one that got out of the boat. The other 11 just stayed put. So let's go to the scripture starting at verse 22, Jesus had been teaching. There was the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in the preceding verses. And it was getting late. People were hungry and tired, including the disciples, if you read their response. And Jesus says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Well, of course, we know that's not entirely true because he was with the Father. The boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, 3 to 6 a.m., he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost! Oh no!" They cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. and not be afraid. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they, Peter and Jesus, got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you certainly are God's son. You know, the more you read the scripture, the more you see. I read this numerous times this week, but I never saw that it says immediately three times in this short dozen verses here. So I've got to go back and revisit. But during our OSL time last week, not this past Wednesday, Holy Spirit got my attention or drew my attention to Matthew 14 in these verses specifically, where Jesus walks on the water in the midst of the stormy conditions in the middle of the night. Again, the miracle had just been performed not hours before. Feeding of the 5,000, that's 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. And what Jesus was doing was he was teaching the disciples about faith. And they were going to learn firsthand in their experience here on the Sea of Galilee when they were out in the middle of the night. Now you have to realize at least some of them, at least four of them that we know of, were seasoned fishermen. So this wasn't their first rodeo, so to speak. You catch the most fish at night, right? That's when they go out, not in broad daylight. They go out during the night. So this was nothing new to them to be in the boat. And usually that's when the storms arise as well, in the darkness. So he was teaching them about faith, growing in faith, and meeting the challenges of faith. Earlier in Matthew 14:14, Jesus had been healing the sick until evening, and then he wanted to disperse the crowd. And because it was desolate, it wasn't in the city, it was out on the outskirts someplace there, and it was late and there was no food, the disciples, as they usually did, didn't have the full picture that Jesus had. And he knew that his Father would provide for all these people. Didn't matter if it made sense. Didn't matter if there was only five loaves and two fishes. He is the God of more than enough. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus prays, and the 5,000 men and then women and children were fed. And I always remember the disciples say, Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And then isn't it ironic? It's, you know, if you look at God's sense of humor, there's 12 baskets left over, one for each of the 12. After they're thinking there's not enough. What are five fish and five loaves and two fish? And they accumulated 12 baskets of leftovers. Again, the emphasizing the lesson of faith. John chapter 5 says, even Jesus, the Son, can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. So, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. So the Father was healing, and the Father was doing miracles with the feeding of the 5,000. And soon, later on, the end of chapter and what's recorded later is more healing. And Jesus, because he was in close connection or fellowship with Father, he knew there was another mission on the other side of the sea. And so, I would have to believe that when he went to the mountain to pray, he got fresh signals of what was next, what was the next plan in the Father's heart. The title I felt early on for this message was, "How will you respond when Jesus says come?" What will your response be when Jesus beckons you? We just sang that. That's prophetic, I believe, to end with the song, "Jesus is Calling." Because we have to come to grips with that question. When Jesus says come, when Jesus calls, what will our response be? Well, let's look at the scripture. Will you respond in your own understanding? Point one. The disciples were swayed by the circumstances. Yes, it was true that the sea was raging. The wind was, roaring, and the waves were doing a number on that boat. That was all true. But you have to notice that Jesus, back in verse 22, Jesus made them or compelled them, King James says, or strongly urged them to get in the boat and get started to go to the other side of the sea. He already said that, knowing they were going to make it. They weren't going to capsize. They weren't on a suicide mission. There was healing ahead. And there was a continuing lesson Jesus had on building them up in their most holy faith, as the scripture says. So he compelled them to go ahead without him to the other side. He was sending them on a faith mission. His Father had a plan for more healing on the other side. Faith takes you, faith carries you, faith sustains you in your journey to the other side. God will always give you the faith you need to get to the other side. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to question that. Yes, things will rage. Yes, there will be challenges, resistance. The enemy will kick up his pathetic strategy against God's power and God's plan. By faith, you will get to the other side. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on this, on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight, or He will direct your steps. Here's the thing. Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible. Can't be done. And it's impossible to please Him. Because, the scripture says, he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So no storm, no plan of the devil has the power or can prevent you from going where God ordains you to go. Don't listen to reason. Listen to Jesus. This will lead you astray. Jesus will not lead you astray. Secondly, respond according to His word. Jesus had said, go to the other side. When He said that, all the power and provision to make that happen was released from His mouth by His word. Yes, it's dark. Yes, it's late. It's in the middle of the night, 3 to 6 a.m. Sometimes God does His best work in those hours. You don't volunteer for getting woken up at that time, but if you're going to get revelation, if you're going to meet with Him, if you're going to hear something from Him, if you're going to get a word from Him, it is worth it. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. I omitted this one, Kathy, I'm sorry. He who follows me, and I would add, listens to my word, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Psalms 36, 9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Ah, now I see. When we find ourselves humbly in a submissive state, obeying the word, acting on the word, even when it doesn't make sense or it's not convenient and so forth, revelation comes. God gives you that understanding that you lack according to His word. Proverbs 10:17, He is on the path of life who heeds instruction. Well, where is the best instruction on the planet? Right here, in this book, in God's word. Psalms 119, 133, establish my footsteps in thy word. Psalms 119, 169, give me understanding according to thy word. Psalms 119, 170, deliver me according to thy word. Psalms 119, 160, the sum of thy word is truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So, we need to not just hear the word. I mean, that's good. Hearing the voice of God. But what does He mean? What is He saying? I found sometimes I filter it through this. I think God said this when He actually was saying something different. That's the value of prayer. That's the value of going to the Word of God, asking God for a scripture as a safety net to back up what you heard. Not just hear, but listen and heed the word. Isaiah 30:21. Your ears will hear a word behind you whenever you get off track, to the left or the right, the scripture says there in Isaiah. This is the way. Walk in it. God doesn't take you on a wild goose chase. He does test your faith, that is for sure. But he trains us to hear his voice, listen to his voice, and then obey that still small voice. And he's given us Holy Spirit to help us out, because on our own, we probably won't get there. At least I won't. Number three, respond in the Spirit, not in the flesh, obviously. Verse 26 to 27. They saw, the disciples saw, but they didn't see. You understand there's a difference. They saw, but they didn't see accurately. They didn't recognize the Lord Jesus. These are men who had spent numerous hours and hours and hours being tutored by him. And there he is, a matter of a meter or a few meters away from him. But because they didn't expect him to be walking on the sea, they didn't recognize him. You understand? They saw, but they didn't see. They were swayed by fear and not by faith. It tells us, verse 26, they were frightened, saying, "It's a ghost!" They cried out in fear. Paul tells us in Galatians, and he had some lessons, some tough lessons to learn. And he learned them well. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The flesh wants to have its way. The flesh thinks it knows what's best for you. It doesn't. You have to be ruled by your spirit, man. And didn't have this in my notes, but oftentimes when Paul uses that Greek word in the New Testament, it's the same word for an umpire. So an umpire is called to make the right decisions, to make the right call, if you will. And so the Holy Spirit, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to be the umpire. Because we don't always see clearly. We don't always know clearly what God is doing. We have a general idea, but we can be swayed by the wind, by the waves, by turbulent times that we're living in. And we will respond in the flesh if we're not ruled or allowing the Holy Spirit to be the umpire of our emotions and our thoughts and our actions. You see, they didn't recognize his voice. Not only did they not recognize him, they didn't recognize his voice, a voice that they've heard time and time again in their gatherings with him, their small gatherings especially, not when he's ministering in the crowd setting, but when they're getting him in that intimate time. They hear his voice, they learn to know his voice, and they know his heart behind what he speaks. Jesus said in verse 27 in Matthew 14, "Take courage, it is I." I know you didn't know it was me, but it is me. And don't be afraid. Don't be swayed by what you're seeing. Listen to my voice in the midst of the storm. I missed a lot of scriptures this morning when I was giving the list. Ephesians 5:8. "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You know, sometimes, I don't know how to say this, I think I'm writing one thing, but God has me write another. Does that ever happen to you? When I reread my notes early this morning, this is what I had written. "But now you are light in the Word." Not light in the Lord. They both are true. But that's what I had written, and so God was trying to say something in addition there to bring revelation to that scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So when you're unsure, when you're uncertain, when the storm is raging, speak the name of Jesus. We sing that song, and it's a powerful song by Charity Gale. And she lays everything out. Speak it over your family. Speak it over every need you have in those lyrics. We speak Jesus. That's a language he wants us to understand and become familiar with more and more in the storms especially. Isaiah 55, 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near." You know, in the storm, with all the confusion, the uproar, the noise, the motion, the devil can convince you God's not there when he's right there. He's absolutely right there. But you have to choose faith and not fear. It's a choice. It's always a choice. And God will honor that choice, and he'll give you the faith you need to dispel or cancel out the fear that begins to rise up in you. Now, some of the older saints here, not me, but some of you, I don't know if you remember when you were in grammar school, there was a safety slogan for crossing the street: stop, look, and listen. Maybe it still is, I have no idea. But the Lord was reminding me of this as I was preparing, responding in the Spirit. Take a moment. Submit the situation to the Lord. Stop. Look. Don't be swayed by circumstances. Don't be ruled by circumstances, but be swayed and ruled by him. He's with you. He's always with you. And listen to what he has to say about what you think you see. Number four, respond in faith. That's the goal. When Jesus calls, when Jesus says, "Come," he wants us to say, "Yes, Lord. Here am I, Lord. I'm at your service, Lord. And Rich actually opened up with that verse. He came to serve, not to be served. And he always is preparing us to be servants, to have a servant's heart. And without faith, that can never be. Respond in faith. So we find that Peter is the only one that does anything. At least the scripture doesn't record it. The rest of them, they're probably saying, well, let's see what happens to Peter. He's the brash one. He's the one that's impulsive and jumps out of the boat without thinking. Well, he was thinking, but he got distracted. So he's the only one who interacts, first of all, and speaks to Jesus. That's a good start right there. In the storm, you got to speak to Jesus. You got to find out how to navigate the storm, how to get through to the other side. Because he has the way. He makes a way through the storm. Lord, if it's you, command me to come. Peter musters up, we have to give him credit. He musters up all the faith he had. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the sea. And immediately, Jesus says, come. And so, again, that was a command. Jesus was commanding him to come. If you look at your Bible should have an exclamation point there. Because it's a command. Jesus said, come. It is me, in other words, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat. And he walks on the water. He starts to waver in faith. And his faith and fear are in a tug of war. And that's always going to be the case. You know, fear wants to rise up and detour you from God's plan for your life, God's mission on any given day or to any given person. And you have to let faith prevail. It's okay to admit you don't have enough faith because you know the one who gives the faith you need. Jesus said, come. And so he gets out, walks on the water, but then he starts to sink. But here's the thing. He's still looking at Jesus. He doesn't lose sight of Jesus. He says, Lord, save me! See, his focus, and that's when I believe, even if Jesus didn't reach out his hand, I believe Peter would have been able to walk on water and reach Jesus. He got a faith infusion at that point. Lord, save me. He asks for and receives help. You see, this is where a lot of times we mess up. We don't want to admit that we need help. Huh? I admit it. I like to try to figure it out. I got myself in that mess, and I can figure out how to get myself out of that mess. No, I can't. I need him. I need him today more than yesterday, the song says. Many of you don't know this song, but when I was first saved, there was a guy named Dallas Holm And I used to listen to it. It used to minister to me in my early baby steps of faith. And the song was, "Hold on to Jesus. Let him have his way. Give him your life today. Let him have his way." And I was remembering that way, way back, many years ago. So we need to trust him to bridge that gap in faith. And I was remembering the passage, Mark 9, where the man's son is in severe crisis, health crisis. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "If you can help me." Jesus says, "If I can, if I can, all things are possible to him who believes." The man says, "Help me in my unbelief." So that's what Peter was doing here. Without voicing those exact words, he's saying, "Lord, save me. Help me in my unbelief. I heard your voice. I know it's you. But fear wants to overcome me and win the battle over faith." Number 5, respond with his power. With faith comes power. Respond with or in his power. Jesus is your solution in your faith crisis or your faith challenge. Jesus prepares the man or the woman for the challenge, not the challenge for the man or woman. He knows what's ahead, and he prepares us. He does the important work, but we have to cooperate. See, that's the thing. We can't say, "Yeah, I can do it. I'm all right. I'll make it." Well, he doesn't want you to just make it. He wants you to overcome, be victorious. Jesus supplies the power to prevail. Romans 8:37. "But in all these things," what things? The challenges you and I face in life. "In all these things," the scripture says, "we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." You know, I would have thought that that would have said, "through him who loves us." Because love finds a way. But that's not what the scripture said. It all goes back to you understanding the love of God. We overwhelmingly conquer through him who first loved us. It's not us. We didn't decide to love him. He decided, "That one's mine. I claim that one for my kingdom." Luke 10:19, "I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." There's nothing the enemy can do to you unless you give him permission. Unless you speak in unbelief, unless you act in unbelief, instead of allowing faith to fill you up and empower you and release you to be the victor that Jesus sees and saw when he saved you. Hebrews 12:1-2. "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter," or I like King James rendering here, "finisher of faith." He gives you the faith to finish your race. Whatever faith you had, you're going to need more faith. Yesterday's faith won't get you through today or tomorrow's challenges. He'll supply that. His word is power. His word is power. Let that sink in. It's not mere words. It's power. His word makes you dangerous to the enemy. He'll go bother somebody else. When you become a real student of the word comes out. The word speaks through you and to other people and to your situation. But you have to know the word to be able to speak it. His word is power. Study his word. Know his word. And then it'll become a part of you. It'll become a part of your heart and of your spirit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he will enlarge you and enable you to respond in power to and in every situation he ordains for you in life. You know, I wouldn't volunteer for some of the things God has chosen for me. I'd probably choose the detour. The more you get to know him, the more you get to know this word, you can confidently say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So how will you respond when Jesus says, come? Choose faith. Choose life. Choose Jesus. God bless you.